In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Christians, we are to be the witnesses of Christ in the world. We are to witness to the fact that the goodness and love and virtue of God Himself is now able, through Christ, to shine forth into the world through ourselves. This requires humility. It requires humility of a very deep and genuine sort. It's not the sort that you can pretend at. It has got to be the actual recognition that our virtues are not virtues that belong to us. They are not possessions of ourselves. They are not expressions of our strength of character, or strength of will. Our virtues as Christians are the virtues of Christ Himself. We put them on, He puts them on us, if we are humble, because we lack the virtue that He has. Oftentimes we read in monastic texts that those characteristics, those virtuous characteristics that human beings have, just because they were born that way, don't count. They are not counted as virtues. It is possible that some people are naturally compassionate. Doesn't count. It may be that someone is naturally generous. They can't help themselves. It's just the way they were born. Doesn't count. Why not? Because a Christian reveals the virtues of Christ. We don't reveal ourselves. The object is not to perfect ourselves based on our own strength. The object is to achieve that humility that will let the perfection of Christ shine through us, so that our virtues become the unlimited virtues of Christ Himself. He became incarnate, destroyed the power of death, so that we could be at one with Him. Not so that He could be at one with our strength and perfect our strength and make us able to go to the temple like the Pharisee and thank God that He was not like other men. A Christian is not a person who is not like other men. A Christian is a person who is like other men. And like all men and all women, our virtues are meant to be the unlimited virtues of God Himself shining through us. Christianity is not a pagan discipline of character development. There is such a discipline. You can read about it in Plato and Aristotle and Isocrates, but you can't read about it in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or in the epistles of St. Paul. There, what you find is a recognition of the fact that without God's own virtues clothing us, we are naked. Naked of the goodness and love and virtue that are God's, that belong to God. He doesn't give them to us as our possessions that we own. That isn't the way human beings are created. We are created so that we can only be fully human by living in cooperation and synergy with God's goodness, righteousness, love, and limitless compassion. So that even one example of a lack of compassion signifies a separation of ourselves from God. Because God's compassion is unlimited. And if we were keeping integrity and faith with Him, we would not be able to indulge ourselves in a lack of compassion or pride, the pride of the Pharisee. The Pharisee goes into the temple, and what does he say? Thank God. I thank God. Sounds good. He knows he's supposed to thank God for everything. I thank God that I am not like other men. He doesn't even say, I thank God that I am not an extortioner. I thank God that I am not filled with lust, an adulterer. Or I thank God that I am not greedy, taking the money of the poor, like this publican. He doesn't say that. I thank God that I am not like other men. Extortioners. That's how they are. There's me, and there are all of those other people out there that are not like me. What are they like? What are people like that aren't like me? The one person who is different. And I thank God that I am different and I am the way I am. Others are extortioners. Others are filled with lust and liable to adultery. Others are like this publican, loving the things of the world, first of all. But I'm not like other people. And I thank God for that, for how different and unique I am. What a complete rejection of Christ. What a complete rejection of God as God is, and a complete rejection of any self-awareness that we are as human beings. Not able to live in self-governance on the basis of our own strength and power, separately from God. God did not create us to be able to live in that way, but that's what this Pharisee believes. And he gives tithes. He gives tithes on everything he has. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find out that there is more than just the 10% tithe. There are three kinds of tithes. That's why it's plural. And he gives all of them. He gives 10% of everything, and he gives those other kinds of tithes too, which we can't go into right now. But he gives tithes. For sure, he gives more than any of us. And he's proud of it. And he thanks God for making him different. And unlike the rest of us who don't do that, he fasts twice in the week, and he is proud. Theophylact says that because of his pride, he is vain, he is arrogant, and he is presumptuous. Vanity, arrogance, presumption, they come along with severe pride. What does it mean to be presumptuous? It means to believe that we have a right to do things that we have no right to do. The right to walk into the temple and declare ourselves before God as unlike others. It's a complete delusion. But the prideful are constantly presuming to have a differentness and right that others don't have because they are different. They put themselves forward in ways that embarrass the people that they are among, and they have no awareness of it, and it's because of their pride. And that's how the Pharisee is. He is presumptuous in mind and in deed. He presumes in his mind that he is more and better than any human being can be. And he presumes in his actions that he has a right to act as though he is better than others, as though he is the superior one wherever he goes, even into the temple of God. But he does thank God that he is different and that his pride is just. In order to be Christians, we have got to be like the publican. Last week we said some nice things about publicans. We said about Zacchaeus that as the chief publican in Jericho, he probably brought a great deal of trade to that city. Trade in that famous and expensive salve, the balm of Gilead. And he could have been a just publican. When you read Theophylact, you don't find anything like that. Theophylact is pretty harsh on the publicans. What he says, in fact, what he said about Zacchaeus is this. He says that the publicans are the greatest vessels of the devil, the greatest vessels of all that the devil has access to. There is no doubt in his mind. They are takers of percentage of the money of the poor. And Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. He is the first in evil, is what Theophylact says. So he is not soft on publicans. This particular publican that comes to the temple, no doubt exactly because of the fact that that is the way he lives his life, knows that he is not better than anyone else. He is aware of the things that he does, and the way he treats the poor. And when he turns to God, when he repents of living that life, he knows exactly where he stands before God. Unlike the Pharisee, he knows that there is no virtue in him. And this is how we need to be before God, because this is the truth of our humanity. Standing before God, we are revealed as naked of virtue. Any virtue that we have is virtue that is part of the robe of Christ that he places on us. And if we go out into the world clothed in the robe of Christ and humble because we know that in ourselves we are naked before God, then others will see the virtue of Christ. There won't be any mistaking that virtue of Christ God for the virtue of the person themselves. Because humility is visible, so is fake humility. The question is, which one do we desire? Do we really desire to be like the publican? Coming to God, confessing our sins, recognizing on the basis of the fact that we can see how we have lived, what we have done. Now, the prideful man won't even be able to see anything that he has done. His sins will be invisible to him. He won't have anything to confess because it's all about him. There may be some shortcomings here and there. Maybe he could ask God to help him with some of those. God, give me this characteristic because I have all the others. I'm not too bad. But there is this one thing that I have difficulty with. Could you change me? Give me the strength of character so that I can go out and live my life and not do these things. They are an embarrassment to me. Because for the most part, I am a decent human being who probably deserves to go into the temple right next to the Pharisee and say, thank God that I am the way I am instead of the way some other people are. It's a constant shock to me that in America, the understanding of Christianity is that Christians are those who point fingers at others because they are the ones who do the things they ought not to do. And hey, let's make some laws against people who do things that they ought not to do, because we Christians don't break that law. We follow God's law. We all should be able to walk as a group into the temple led by the Pharisee. And thank God that he has made us Christians, unlike those outside of the Christian church that need to have laws with punishments behind them to force them to do the things that we do as a matter of course. It is an amazement to me that we do not understand the content of the Christian faith. We cannot be like God by being good. We can only be like God out of our human humility. Humility is appropriate to us. Question is that what we want? Have we gone to God and asked him, God, give me the strength so that I don't sin? What kind of a confession is that? What kind of a prayer is that? Rejection of God, rejection of our humanity, just like the prayer of the Pharisee. Let us realize that to live our lives so that any focus of self-concern becomes invisible to us. It's just we become invisible to ourselves. We never look in the mirror and admire ourselves. In order to see what we need to confess, we look at Christ, we see what he is like, and we look at what we've done and we say, God, help me, I don't even deserve to be able to come to you because this is how I live my life. Now, we're not saying this is how I am, you know, because that's not true. God didn't create us that way. They're just things that we do, things that are wrong, sometimes things that are arrogant or even evil. And they should bring us down to the level of humility of the publican, the one whose life has taught him humility. And it is that humility, that coming to God and saying what we know as the Jesus Prayer, essentially, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Someone who, when relying on myself, I do things that are completely opposite of the way you are. I know that I am not worthy to be in your house. Forgive me. And that is the person that Jesus says went down justified, made how? Made the way we are meant to be as human beings. That is just. Now, I know there's a legalistic idea about justification out there, but it's crazy. To be made just is to be made as we are meant to be in the world that God has created. And how are we meant to be? We are meant to be humble with the humility of the publican. Only then can God clothe us with the robe of Christ's own virtues and send us in our humility out into the world to be able to reveal not our goodness and strength and power and rightness, but to reveal Christ's strength, goodness, power, compassion, and love acting through the least of each one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.